with that. So, Lord, open our hearts, please, to your holy word and help us hear you and respond well. Change us. We have a little video to show you.
When I need someone to talk to, no one stops, but I flip the sign and everyone will take.
Anxiety. I won't ask for a show of hands of who's experienced anxiety. It happens. What are you worried about today? Nothing? That's great. Nothing to worry about, right? Or maybe you feel some anxiety about the bills, money, your children, your parents, government, direction of society, etc. Does this ever happen to you? One night a while back, I woke up in the night and lay awake for quite a while, tossing, turning, worrying about something. I can't even tell you exactly what it was now. But whatever it was ruining my night. Toss, turn, worry, toss, turn, worry. I wasn't getting anywhere. In a few minutes, I'll talk about something God helped me with that may be useful for you. But that happens to us sometimes. Anxiety can be real. I read an article in Psychology Today by a psychotherapist named Amy Morin. Ten reasons why teenagers experience anxiety. And as I read through it, I won't read all 10 of them, but several of them, I thought, well, this isn't relevant only for teenagers. This is true for a lot of us, perhaps. And here are some of the things she said. Electronics offer an unhealthy escape. So we avoid uncomfortable emotions through online chat or social media, you know. Just veer off the reality and focus on what's going on social media. Or happiness is all the rage. Sometimes, she says, parents give the expectation that their children should always feel happy. Well, that's not real. Or we give unrealistic praise to our children. You're the smartest kid in the class. You're the best athlete on the team. That's a pretty high standard to maintain. What if you have a bad game, or you get a B, or a D? Did you ever get a D minus? I think I got a D minus once in college. I think it was a grace mark. Barely above F plus. And sometimes parents get caught in the rat race. They work hard to ensure that kids excel at everything. Well, kids can't excel at everything. Nobody does. Or sometimes we view ourselves as protectors rather than guides. And so children start to believe they're too fragile to cope with the difficulties of reality. Or we don't know how to help our kids face fear the right way, and so they opt out of reality instead of facing their fears. Or maybe sometimes we parent out of guilt and fear. We don't let our kids out of our sight, and so we teach them that discomfort is not acceptable. Or sometimes kids aren't given enough free time to play. Unstructured, solitary play teaches us to be alone with our thoughts and comfortable in our own skin. And she says, finally, family hierarchies get out of whack. Kids might give the impression they don't want any authority in their lives, but underneath it all, they want parents to be leaders, even when they push back. Take from this what you will. Worry seeps into our souls, and we need to know what God says about how to flush it out. how to sort of transfuse that, change. And so God gave the Apostle Paul some words about anxiety. This is a predictable text in this series on emotional, Christ-centered emotional well-being. It's predictable, isn't it? We're going to go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he confronts anxiety, worry. They had reasons, I'm sure, to experience anxiety from a human standpoint. They were working jobs in a culture where idol worship was a big deal. And they were trying to live for Jesus in this culture. Or they were wondering if the money was going to stretch over the month and they could provide for their children, their grandchildren, and so on. So Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, and this is in a beautiful context. We could have started earlier and gone further, but there's a lot right in here. He says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Lord, speak to us so through this magnificent word. Let's pause right now and have a moment where we're quiet. You may need to bow, whatever helps you focus. Come, Holy Spirit. Drill through the barriers we might unintentionally put up. Soften the sore spots on our souls that we're hiding. Spirit of the living God, we acknowledge you as our teacher today. Don't worry about anything, he begins. Don't worry about anything. This is the command in these verses. This is the command. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Now, I'm wondering right now how many of us are checking out or frustrated saying, okay, this is fluffy bunnies and fruitcake. Do you know what I'm really dealing with in life? Don't worry. I might as well listen to Bob Marley, you know. Don't worry. He says, don't worry about anything. All you can say is don't worry. What is worry? Oxford Dictionary defines it this way. If you're the one who is causing it, it is to tease, harass, be continuously or intermittently troublesome, allow no rest or peace of mind for someone. That word worry is used to describe what a dog does with a toy or maybe something else. When it shakes it, it's worrying it. But if you're on the receiving end, worry or anxiety is to give way to anxiety. Let the mind dwell on troubles. Fret. A scholar named Goetzmann, I believe it's pronounced, writes that both the Old and New Testament view worry as the natural reaction to poverty, hunger, and other troubles which come upon us in daily life. Oppressed by the burdens laid upon us, we imagine ourselves delivered to a fate before which we stand powerless. He's saying the word refers to that natural default that we go to as people, where we panic and worry and feel anxious about things. It's a very human response. And so what we're talking about here is supernatural. It is redeemed response to worry. Don't worry about anything. And this has deep roots in Scripture. David sang, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Jesus addressed worry, didn't he? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? I saw a lone goose, Canada goose, yesterday honking over, making lots of noise, but I don't think it was worried. I didn't interview it, but I don't think that bird was worried, just looking maybe for companionship and maybe looking for water. Birds don't worry, he says. Author Robert Creech tells a story of about him when he was a young pastor and he was involved in something in his congregation where change was happening, and it was deeply upsetting for some people. And he didn't realize the level of anxiety this was causing, but he also wasn't aware, he said, of his own anxiety in this whole process. And so he met with several people who were upset to listen and try to answer questions, but he said, I was not aware of how much my own fear and anxiety drove my behavior. Instead of being a calmer presence, I reacted emotionally as they did. The result was that everyone's emotions escalated and the emotional systems became even more volatile. Ever been in those conversations? When we are really anxious, we can bring the anxiety into family. And the family system, emotional system, goes. Or work. Really anxious at work, and it gets worse and worse. Or even church. Anxiety. Anxiety grows. When anxiety grips us, we introduce it. But he says, look at the birds. Not worried. Creech and his co-authors write, when anxiety rises, we become rather predictable. Our thinking becomes less clear and more reactive. Some of us withdraw. Others engage in conflict. We begin to place or accept blame to avoid taking responsibility for making personal changes. We begin to see ourselves as the victim of others' actions. We assign motives to others' behavior, or we take it personally. Anxiety. What do you worry about? It's good to identify that. What gives you anxiety? And he's saying, pray, don't panic. Pray, don't panic. The answer to anxiety is prayer. The answer to prayer is peace. We'll get to that. But the answer to anxiety is prayer. And then he says, pray about everything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So this is the command again. It's simple. Don't worry about anything. That's the command. But then there are conditions that we are to practice. And this puts the ball, so to speak, in our court. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. So the first thing is pray about everything. And he uses this common Greek word for prayer, prosucha, a little like a sneeze, prosucha. Pray about everything. And there are many uses of this word in the Bible, and it describes prayer as being very personal, where we're vulnerable with God. We're transparent, masks off, heart open before God, where we're laying it out there before him. I'm worried sick about my finances, God, my health, my job, but I'm praying instead of jumping down that dark tunnel. And we face anxiety with prayer, and this can involve spiritual battle, the temptation to give up hope. Prayer isn't a switch that turns off anxiety. Prayer is more like a transfusion. It takes a bit of time, perhaps. Sometimes it's immediate, like sitting down with a close friend when you're worried about something and finally voicing it and saying, you know, I'm really worried sick about, fill in the blank. That's what it's like to pray openly, honestly with God. It's the opposite of panic. Now, we might be disappointed in ourselves or in our ability to pray correctly if we imagine that doing it right means I prayed, oh, suddenly I feel wonderful. That may happen. But that's not really the point here. The point is that instead of going down the anxious road, we go on the prayer path. It's a choice. This is the choice. Notice how these scriptures use this same word for pray. Paul wrote, "Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me." Struggle, not just fluffy bunnies and fruitcake here. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. And Jesus taught us to pray, "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." No, prayer is not a switch. It's the road to change. Temptation to worry will come back. Pray about that. Pray about everything. The sooner we get on the road to prayer, the sooner we replace worry with peace. But Paul continues then and says, tell God what you need. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. A different word for prayer here. Sometimes it's translated supplication. What does that old English word mean? Dunham and Walt describe this kind of prayer this way. In our supplication, this is what it is, we struggle with anguish and doubts. Our souls are troubled by the suffering of others, the arrogance of the wealthy, or the way institutions deal oppressively with individuals. We wrestle with questions concerning our mission and our ministry. What is right and what is not? As Paul noted, we wrestle with principalities and powers. We lay all that out before God. This is tell God about everything. God, this is difficult. Help me. I heard a guy a long time ago describe, he learned to pray from his father. He said, I heard my father one day, he was going down the stairs carrying a door, and he lost his balance and began to fall and tumble down the stairs. And all the way down, he says, God, help me! He said, that's how I learned to pray. It was very real and immediate, telling God about everything, whatever it is. What are you worried about? Pray, don't panic. The answer to worry is prayer. The answer to prayer is peace. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Keep on bringing it to God. David cried out to God like this often. In Psalm 71, for example, out of his deep worry, he says, O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. O God, don't stay away. My God, please hurry to help me. But I will keep on hoping for your help. I will praise you more and more. He chose to trust God. Even praise him in the storm. No, prayer is not so much a switch as a path. You choose instead of panic, instead of anxiety, the choice, even in the middle of the mess. Prayer is a path, not a switch, but it's a path that leads where we need to go. Paul wrote to some friends, night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. Earnestly, night and day, keeping on, telling God what I need. And then this is coupled with thankfulness. Thanking him for all he's done. Notice how thankfulness is a filter against the darkness overcoming us. We quote, Ephesians 5:4, where Paul said, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. It's the filter. The default, often, as we saw earlier, is anxiety, and sometimes anxiety erupts in just all kinds of things where we say, yeah, my bad, sorry. Got off the rails there. But he said instead, thankfulness is the filter. The impact of thankfulness coupled with prayer. We're getting closer to the solution here. I mentioned earlier the night with very little sleep, and maybe you can identify with that sometimes. The toss-turn anxiety routine. And as I lay there, suddenly I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me, stop focusing on the anxiety and receive from me and tell me what you want. And I felt like he was saying, do this in sync with breathing as an illustration of it. Breathing is not the vehicle of receiving God's peace, but was an illustration of it. So I began to do that, to breathe and to pray and say, I receive your peace. I love you, Lord. I dwell in your forgiving love, and I love you, Lord. I receive your goodness. I love you. I receive your growth in my soul, and I'm serving you. And I went on for a long time. I didn't go to sleep right away. It took a long time. But gradually, whatever it was I was worried about shrank. And the presence of God and the reality that he was in control grew large in my mind, in my soul. It was still there, whatever it was. Can't even really tell you now. But the presence of the Lord is real. Tell God what you need. Spiritually breathe with him. Shift your thoughts away from trauma, the temptation to be consumed with anxiety. My thoughts moved to a place where I was aware that I had overfocused on something I had no control over, onto the Lord himself. And his presence held my attention. Pray, don't panic. The answer to anxiety is prayer. And the answer to prayer is peace. And then experience God's peace. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The consequences of obeying the command, which is don't worry, the conditions which we cultivate, pray about everything, tell God what you need, thank him for all he has done, result in this consequence then of peace. Beck and Brown tell us that the Greek word for peace, which was eirene, anglicized to Irene, if your name's Irene, it means peace, translate the Old Testament word Shalom. They say it's the opposite, not so much of war as of any disturbance in the communal well-being of the nation. And so this peace, eirene, shalom, means the well-being, general well-being of the people, of your soul. And the New Testament carries forward this idea of shalom, of peace. He gives peace through Christ himself, who went to the cross and took our shame and our sin, died for it, rose again then, and he is our peace with God. But then we need to surrender to his peace. Paul wrote this, "For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And let that peace from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Receive peace, let go control. Receive peace, love God. Receive his strength, love others. It's beyond human understanding. In other words, I can't just think my way to peace. The more I try to do that, the more sometimes I focus on the anxiety. But his peace guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Christ-centered emotional health includes peace. Peace. A Greek scholar named Sorg tells us that early on, the word heart, Greek word is cardia, from which we get cardiology, cardiac, all that, came to mean not just the vital physical organ, but the intellectual and spiritual center of your life. So through the heart, you worship God. Through the heart, you might ignore God. The heart, the spiritual, intellectual center of who you are, who we are. And this word heart is sometimes paired with the word mind, as it is here, which also, the word was nous, it meant also the whole person. Though sometimes a mind dealt more with the knowledge and heart with the feeling, but they both interrelated in the same way. He'll guard your whole being, in other words, with his peace. At the end of his parable about scattering the seed, the word of God, Jesus said, "And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest." That word patiently is important here. Sometimes anxiety can grip our souls because we want it now, whatever it is. Could be a thing, could be our own development, could be someone else's growth and development. Oh, I wish they would just grow up. Well, given time, your children will. They will. Takes a lot of patience and nurturing, seeing what God does. Beyond human understanding. Robert Creech again and his co-authors tell of Ann and Daryl, a couple who clashed over Daryl's driving quite often. Show of hands, no, don't. He drove fast and furious. He ignored speed limits and he ignored her anxiety. She had lost her sister in a car accident a decade earlier. But nothing moved him to slow down. And so one evening, they had visiting family, and they needed two vehicles. So he and she each drove one of their vehicles, and they took their extended family across town to a restaurant. They were going out for supper. And predictably, she was trying to keep up with Daryl as he was ahead of her, fast and furious. And second by second, her anxiety was rising. Suddenly, something dawned on her. She had a part to play in this silly chase scene, as she said. She's got her own gas and brake pedals. She can control those. She is responsible only for her vehicle and those who are with her. She slows down to the speed limit. And when she does, her anxiety begins to subside. More than that, she can see in this episode of her life a kind of metaphor for how she has played the part of the overfunctioner in many of the chase scenes in her life, with Daryl and with others, trying her best to control their behavior rather than adjusting her own. Like Anne, we sometimes need to slow the pace. The scripture we focused on a couple of weeks ago talked about listening prayer. Last Sunday, the scripture Jordan preached on speaks of going to God's word first instead of to our devices for the news. This repeats that theme. Slow down. Be quiet, listen. Ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to say to you. If you need help with that listening prayer, you can check my email from last week. If you don't get the weekly emails, let us know. I'd love to have that communication with you. Or if you don't get the emails, there's a paper copy of how to deal with that or how to respond to listening prayer out on the welcome table. Don't worry about anything. This is an adjustment, isn't it? Yes, I am a work in progress. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Prayer is a path you choose. It's not a switch you throw. Experience God's peace by letting go of the panic. At some point, being in control is just too much to carry. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Pray, don't panic. The answer to anxiety is prayer. The answer to prayer is peace. Let's pray right now. What are you worried about? If you are, maybe you're not. Praise God. Keep thanking Him for all He has done. Thank you, Lord, for all You've done. Now, identify if there's anxiety in your mind. Identify what that's about. As far as you can see, Holy Spirit, give us wisdom to understand. As far as you can tell, identify it. And then pray about it. Unmask before God. Say, yeah, this is in my mind a lot. Tell Him what you need. Receive His peace. Thank Him for all He has done. Let's say together, I receive your peace, Jesus. I receive your peace, Jesus. One, two, three. I receive your peace, Jesus. And then in the same vein, we'll say, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. So come, Holy Spirit. Help us as we give. Whatever it is we're worried about to you. And show us what to do if there's something we need to do or change. We thank you that you're in control.